Our annual meeting Sunday is a time to look back, and so I want to do a little of that today. And next week, I'll do a little looking forward. Several times during this year together, in private conversations, people have told me that this year has felt like a year of contraction. Half-time ministry instead of full-time. One service instead of two. Programs that you thought were a regular part of congregational life that didn't happen this year for lack of leadership. In these conversations, I have tried to put this year into a broader perspective. It's not an unusual thing to have stuff like this happen in a time of transition, I've said. And I've used the metaphors from the natural world that many living things on this planet benefit from a time of stepping back or cutting back to make room for new things to emerge. But there is an even bigger frame than 1 year or even this 2 year time of transition that we're in the middle of that we should be putting on what has happened in our congregation this year. And it's a frame that involves not just one season or even maybe one human lifespan. It's a frame that involves the multiple generations that are represented in this room, and it's a frame that involves centuries. It is not easy to create something built to last. It is so much easier to tear things down. It can take just a few minutes. On your order of service cover today is the ancient Roman temple of Bel, in the Syrian city of Palmyra, which has stood for over 2,000 years in the desert sands. It was a monument to an advanced culture and a religious tradition, both of which have since been buried under the sands of time. But that temple did survive all these centuries. Partly, as the expression goes, it had good bones. Its architecture and design was sound, it was well suited to the climate that it was in, and also because it was respected for a long time by the changing culture that surrounded it. Until recently. In 2015, the Temple of Bel was destroyed with explosives by ISIS fundamentalists, sadly for religious reasons, because it represented polytheism. So what are the lessons that we can draw from this malicious act of destruction? An act that symbolizes the even more devastating destruction of human lives that has been going on during this interminable war in Syria. The first lesson is that our human lives and even the most durable symbols of human creativity and aspiration are fragile, and they can be gone in an instant. But that fragility is not the fault of the design. It's not because we human beings and the temples and the great symbols of our lives together and the cultures that we build are not built to last within their appropriate frames of time. There is another reason, and that's the second lesson. It is that the worst of the evil destruction that is part of human history has been brought about by misguided ideology of people who believed completely that they alone are right, and along with that believe that everyone and everything else that represents another way of seeing the world must be destroyed. Unitarian Universalism represents and embraces humanity's struggle against this persistent tribal ideology and hatred that has been a curse on humanity throughout our time on this planet. Unitarian Universalism is a young faith, but it has some of the deepest roots. These roots go back to the earliest insights of the world's greatest philosophers and teachers that affirming our common humanity is more important to our happiness and our fulfillment than insisting on any single tribal identity or mandatory common belief. And this is the perspective that I try to bring to everything we do here in this ministry and this community that we share. For me, being your minister this year is one chapter in a lifetime commitment to representing that Unitarian Universalist faith and its essential message, that we are one humanity, loved and saved by a power that we know through embodying it together, a power that we can justifiably call divine, held by that one love, which is beyond belief. I've always felt that I worked for Unitarian Universalism and for this message more than I work for whoever happens to be my church at any particular time and place. But if I took that feeling too seriously, then I would get into trouble and I would forget something else. A bedrock belief about Unitarian Universalism, that we only represent this message, this vital witness that is Unitarian Universalism, and it is only built to last for as long as the next person that I talk to in this congregation has a personal experience of how this way of believing in the world, this way of interacting here and now in this time of place, makes a huge difference in your life. I might teach you about Unitarian Universalist threads that run through human history, and I might tell you all about the last several hundred years of our story in America, and we can talk about the history of this congregation, but none of it makes that much difference unless Unitarian Universalism here makes a difference in your life. And that happens because of the other people that are sitting here in this room with you today. There isn't any such thing as Unitarian Universalism in the abstract. There is only you. How can something so fragile and impermanent as a church community that is always changing be a container and of an insight and an aspiration that is so important to our human future? It's a contradiction, and I've lived with it my whole life, that the most valuable and the most eternal things are held in the most perishable of vessels. And preserving them requires the most mundane of tasks, such as having an annual meeting. UUCS may not feel like a grand temple, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have good bones. This congregation is built to last because it rests on a foundation of love and caring that is first and foremost face-to-face and person-to-person, and because the congregation has built a worship life and systems for leadership that help us sustain the community whenever we face inevitable change. We recognize that something built to last can't be mistakenly identified with a particular building or a particular minister or with one generation of members or leaders. So when I look back at what this year has meant, the lyrics to another rock song came to my mind. I promised I would be quoting two of them today. And that song is Jagger and Richards. You can't always get what you want, but if you try, sometimes you get what you need. And I hope that these lyrics mean something to you as we arrive at this annual meeting today. Because we didn't get everything that we wanted as a year ago we looked at this year of ministry. You wanted it to be full-time, but maybe because it was half-time, we did get something that we needed, some perspective on what it was that Reverend Anya was doing as her ministry matured, and what we miss in that absence. We wanted this congregation to continue to be known in the community for our values and to be active in promoting social justice and service. But this year, perhaps we got something we needed, some perspective on the ways that lay leadership and involvement has to be the foundation for any minister's role representing us in the larger community. And we wanted to continue to have a flourishing and well-attended religious exploration program for all ages, representing the many paths of religious learning and growth available to us in this one church. And maybe we got something else that we needed as we come to the end of this year. A broader ownership and understanding throughout the congregation of what it really takes to be an educating, multi-generational community that creates and supports week after week a school. These are challenges and possibilities that remain. They are all ahead of you and for your future. And they are represented by the simple budget vote that you will take later this morning. Everybody here who's ever tried to make a budget at home knows that budgets are hardly ever documents that manage to represent you getting everything that you want. But we keep trying, year after year, to strive towards that goal and to make sure that in the love and the good bones that are underneath all those numbers you're going to be looking at, each of us is going to get what we need next year. I am so grateful to all the leaders of this congregation, especially to the members of the outgoing board, especially to Corinne, for the ways that they have kept the vision alive this year. Blessed are they. Blessed are all of you who have been involved this year in leadership. And I am proud that I had the chance this year to make a small contribution to this community in the sweep of time that you represent, and to help you recognize that you're built to last. We have to remember that how the community is sustained next year and for all the years after that is up to you, despite the good bones. It does depend on how you treat each other. It depends on how vulnerable you are to each other and how generous you are with each other. It depends on your larger vision of what we're doing here together, and it depends on the smallest day-to-day commitments. A religious life is not a mystical experience. It is ongoing every day, and it involves our whole life. Governance work, or the membership committee, or building maintenance are no less holy work than worship preparation, or child dedications, or teaching a religious education class. Being uncomfortable if you have long-term assumptions challenged in this community is as much a spiritual experience as enjoying a joyful celebration or appreciating the comfort you receive in deep grief. There is a common expression that you hear in institutional planning that says, "The devil is in the details." I want to remind you, and I want you to remember going forward, that the angels that visit us are in the details as well. So, let's attend to some details as we close this service with our offering and our covenant and our voices in song and our annual meeting. And each of those things represent elements of the shared life and the community that we have here that is built to last. May it be so.